The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why is there more joy when someone strays and repents than when 99 don't stray? That's what we're going to talk about and much more on this episode. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. Do you have a question that keeps you up at night? Well, you can zap it to us through email. radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, my name is Bob Wilkin. That was a little delay.
There was a little delay there, wasn't it? Yeah, I like that. There's a little bit of roboticness. Is that
the
word?
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. I have had my coffee. I wonder if some questions will kind of juice up the mind here.
Well, I think they will.
Is that an expression? I've just made that up. You want your mind to be juicy, right?
I'm gobsmacked. You know what that means?
Yeah, it means you're at a loss for words.
Kind of, yeah. The British idea of where your jaw's hanging open.
You're like, All right, well, let's see here. I don't know if I have any gobsmacking questions here, but here's a good one from Jody. Why is there more joy when someone strays and repents than when 99 do what they're supposed to do? I guess the idea is, wouldn't God be happier with the people who are obeying, doing the right thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. Never heard that one before. That's good.
I'm thinking about my kids. It's like Daphne is, for the most part, very obedient. She does what she needs to do. And I kind of expect that from her. But when, let's say, one of my other kids, who's like really struggling in a situation, finally does the right thing, in a way, I'm a lot happier, but I don't know why God would be that way.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm looking at the verse. It says in Luke 15:7, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. I suppose the answer, yeah, is like you're saying with your kids, or what would be true of a shepherd, and that is, you have ongoing joy over the people who remain in fellowship with you doing well.
Yeah.
But there's a wonderful sense of joy when someone who has strayed returns. And it's not that there isn't great joy in the 99. Of course, there is. It's just there's this greater joy that's associated with the one who returns because that person has fallen. I don't know. I think that may be an answer, although why it's greater, I think it's probably not greater in the sense that God's more pleased with this than he is with the righteous. I just think it has to do with the fact that this person has returned and those other people are constant joy. You know, you've had this ongoing fellowship with them. But you do have this also in the parable of the prodigal son. Because remember, the older brother gets mad when the father throws this feast for the younger son who's returned. And the older brother says, wait a minute, you've never thrown the fatted calf for me. And he says, wait a minute, all that I have is yours.
Yeah.
And you've been with me all this time. And he's been suffering. I do think we can see how it would cause great joy. The question really surrounds the more joy.
Yeah, yeah. I guess for me, I mean, again, speaking as a parent, when you see your child struggling, there's a sadness there. So it's kind of like, you know, you're low.
Right.
And then to see them get the victory, then it's like you really get the high, you know, whereas when you see the child who's doing well, you don't ever get that low, so you don't really get that high either. Interesting.
Maybe we'll come back in another show. I'll think on this and see. Maybe I can look this up and see if there's some answer.
All right. There's another difficult question.
Another gobsmacker.
Well, yeah. I shouldn't be laughing, though. It's a serious question.
Oh, okay.
It's probably the biggest question that people have raised over the centuries. Is basically, this is from Emily, and Emily asks, I was raised in a Christian home, and I've identified as a Christian for as long as I can remember, but lately I've been racking my brain with troubling questions that leave me fighting ill feelings towards God. And one of those questions is, how can we reconcile a loving, all-powerful God with the horrific things that happen in this world? A child that suffers brutal, relentless abuse, for example. I'm really struggling with the fact that God could stop it in so many different ways, but very often doesn't. Any thoughts? Well, that's the problem of evil, And that's been raised since people started asking questions.
What's that called? There's a theological name for that.
Theodicy is kind
theodicy.
Of the attempt to explain, reconcile God with evil.
Okay. And so what's the normal theodicy explanation?
I don't know if there's a normal one, but it's often attributed to, well, God wanted creatures that were capable of genuine love, relationships, and moral choices, which meant that he had to give them free will. And by giving them free will, that made it possible for them to do evil. If you're going to do good, you have to be able to make choices that could also lead to doing evil. So why does God allow that to happen? It's because if he didn't allow it to happen, we wouldn't exist. You know, we as free will creatures couldn't exist.
Yeah, that's a good point. Of course, there's another issue in the problem of evil. Maybe we wouldn't call this evil, but isn't she also concerned about what about children are born with very severe handicaps?
Sure.
Or people who suffer horrendous accidents?
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
Debilitating things. It seems to me there often we're not dealing with a Hitler or a Stalin or a Pol Pot,
right,
or something like that.
Right.
Instead, we're dealing with part of the human condition.
Right. We're also part of, I think those are all kind of natural evils, I guess, when you, people distinguish between moral evil, which is a result of the choices you make, and natural evil, which is kind of like the suffering of being born disabled or, you know, falling off a cliff by accident and breaking your back or something.
But it is the same kind of answer you gave at the beginning, and that is because God allowed creatures with free will. Now, I would put a caveat there and say free will of all humans is limited. God restricts it. The Holy Spirit's the restrainer, and he's restraining evil in the world. And so even someone like Hitler, who killed at least 11 million, at least 6 million Jews plus another 5 million, or Stalin, who's reputed to have killed between 50 and 100 million, or Mao,
yeah,
probably somewhere between 50 and 100 million— even those evil people were restricted by God.
Well, actually, that makes Emily's question even harder, because then if God is restricting choices, why wouldn't he restrict the choices of a parent who's abusing their child? Why wouldn't he stop that?
Well, that's a good question. There are limits to what God allows, but God does allow some pretty terrible things, like Hitler killing 6 million Jews.
Yeah.
And parents, like you say, who are abusive to their kids. In, you know, terrible ways. My answer would be God is restraining, not completely, but he is restraining. And if we saw a world in which there was no restraint, well, we'd be looking at the tribulation, which is going to be far worse.
Yeah.
And secondly, this is a very temporary time. Let's assume, I believe creation was around 4200 BC. Now, I'm a young earth guy, so there are people who believe creation was millions or billions of years ago. But let's just, for the sake of argument, take a young earth and say the earth's only 4200 BC plus another 2021. So maybe around 6200. Let's say that the millennium came soon, so that there'd be less than 8,000 total years of human history when people died. Less than 8,000 years when there was abuse. Less than 8,000 years of birth defects, et cetera, accidents,
yeah,
all that. And now let's fast forward a billion years into the eternal state.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have a billion years with no evil, no death, no suffering, no sin, no pain, as compared to, say, 7,200 or 7,500 years where those things existed.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard for us to even remember that there was ever such a time.
Ah, okay.
And it's going to be such a blip in human history that in the scope of eternity, it's not going to be that great of an issue. I just listened to a book on tape, Unbroken. It was about Louis Zamperini. He was 47 days, I think, at sea in a small raft and survived that. His weight went from about 160 down to about somewhere around 70 or 80.
Wow.
Then he went into a prison camp for about a year and a half and was beaten almost daily and mistreated.
When was this?
This was 1943 to 1945.
Second World War.
Yeah.
Okay.
And anyway, there were all these atrocities, and it was just a horrible situation. And he came out of it, and he became an alcoholic, and his whole life was messed up, and his wife separated from him, and he was headed for divorce. And then he went to a Billy Graham crusade in Los Angeles. Didn't want to go, but he went. Agreed to go a second time, as long as they could leave before the altar call. I don't know if he came to faith at that time. He says that he gave his life to Christ, and what's clear in the book is that his life changed dramatically. And I imagine he probably did come to faith, maybe or maybe not, at that crusade. But the truth is, his life radically changed, and he outlived all of the people who hadn't been in the war, outlived his wife, who was 8 years younger, and lived into his 90s. And yet here was a man who was on the verge of death many times at sea in that raft, and then many times there. And I'm sure when you look over this person's life, you'd go, why did God allow all that suffering in his life? And yet, from 1949 onward, and he was still alive in 2008. So from 49 onward, he was a person who magnified God. Certainly a powerful example of someone who's overcome hardship. And so I think one of the reasons God allows hardship and evil in this world is because God is allowing us the opportunity to overcome it. I mean, I came out of an alcoholic family, and I experienced a certain amount, not compared to other people, not as much as many, but I experienced a fair amount of abuse or whatever you want to call it. And yet I look back on that and think God used that in a positive way in my life. And if you took that away, I wouldn't be who I am today. And I probably wouldn't have started Grace Evangelical Society if you took that away. So I have to look at it like God is working all of this toward the greater good. We might need to pick this up more in the next show. I don't know, but I think that's an answer.
I think, they call that the soul-making theodicy. Somehow that all this suffering is there to contribute to our growth. Well, Emily, that's a great question. Thank you for your questions. We want to hear from you. Send them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's episode, we're going to talk about the problem of evil, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.